This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is made possible in part each Wednesday by People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. By Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. By Fairpoint Communications, small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. By Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow. And by the over 1,000 VBSR members. Here's noted Vermont author David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation, where this week we're going to talk about giving for good, or how giving away money can help your company and help you save the world. To talk about this, we're joined by representatives from two local companies that have been trailblazers in this area. Melody Badgett is the managing director of 1% for the Planet, an alliance of companies that give a percentage of sales to environmental causes. 1% is based in Waitsfield. And Esbert Cardenas is the CEO of Image Outfitters, which has launched iShareWorks, a unique charitable donation program. Later in the half hour, we'll be joined by one of the beneficiaries of their programs, Roy Tuscany from the High Fives Foundation. So, Melody and Esbert, welcome to the Vermont Conversation. And let's start with Melody Badgett from 1% for the Planet. What is 1% for the Planet? Mm-hmm.
David, thank you so much for having us on the show. It's a real pleasure to be here. I've been a fan of your program for a long time. And great starting question, what is 1%? You know, it all began on a fishing trip. That was about 11 years ago when the founder of Patagonia, Yvon Chouinard, and his buddy Craig Matthews, Blue Ribbon Flies, out there fishing on the Madison said, you know what? Every time our companies have done something good for the environment, it's been good for business. And, hey, companies really have a role to play in protecting the planet. More of them should. And that's where the 1% model was born. Actually within Patagonia for a couple of years, and then it came east in 05. And it's that very simple model that you articulated so well. It's an alliance of companies that give 1% of sales to environmental causes directly every year.
And that 1% is a percent of what? It's of the gross that is received?
Yeah. You know, so often people say, oh, is that profits? And it's not. It's really something more. 1%, we often say, it's a really big number. And it really does speak of a business philosophy, because when you're committing at the level of sales, that means year in or year out, you're doing it. That's what you care about. And you know, we have some wonderful grassroots companies who started pre-revenue and made that commitment because they do care. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what are some of the company names that we would recognize who are part of 1% for the Planet?
Yeah, another good question. So it is based here in the Valley, in the Mad River Valley. At the same time, it's a global organization. And today there are 1,100 companies in 48 countries that give. And at our 10-year milestone, which was last year, we realized that the network had given $100 million to causes. So really amazing milestone in one sense. And as Yvon would be the first to say, tip of the iceberg, you got some work to do in another. And he's absolutely right. Companies you would know, I'll share a few kind of on that national global level and also some right here and locally, because we're very excited about the momentum in Vermont. Patagonia, of course, is our founder and continues to be really actively involved. Other kind of CSR leaders like New Belgium Brewing and Mountain Equipment Co-op, which is the REI of Canada, are a part. Last year, Anu Footwear joined and Horny Toad became a member, which is really exciting. West Coast companies that are in the movement. Nature's Path is another one of size with their EnviroKids brand cereal. And a couple in France, Lia Nature and Caudalie, are companies of size that have been really influential in the network. And then here closer to home, some great favorites, Vermont Peanut Butter, Skinny Pancake, Spindrift Soda, King Arthur Flour with their white wheat flour product line. And of course, Image Outfitters. We're really happy to have Esbert as a part of the network as well.
So people sometimes see these certifications, 1% for the planet, you know, X percent for this, and they say, well, how do we really know that they're mm-hmm. giving that money?
Yep. You're asking me, how do we really know?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good, that isn't, you have a great question. That is part of our base, the core of our model, really, is the certification around that giving. So a unique part of the model is that the companies give directly to the nonprofits they support. The money doesn't actually pass through 1%, but we do certify every year 100% of the network, meaning that each company submits to us its receipts of its giving and a tax record to show its revenue, so that we can, you know, see clearly without a doubt this company is making that commitment and adhering to it.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you also, what about a company that has done well and decides it wants to ramp up its charitable giving, mm-hmm. but it doesn't really know how or to whom? Perhaps yeah. outside of a few local things, what can you do for them?
Yeah, you know, a lot of companies come to us at that point, because when they have been active potentially in giving to a certain level on their own, and when they make a commitment at 1% of sales, again, really big number, like, we want to be strategic about this. We want to align with those communities in which we operate, or our own business goals and passions around issues. We want to really make this a strategic and good business decision in a way to engage our customers and our employees more in giving back as well. So we will, in that case, work with that company and help them to identify those goals and really align them with their brand attributes that are most important. For example, one company of size came to us having not done any giving before and wanted to, in 1 year, they represented over $1 million in brand new giving to the environment, which was very exciting, but they kind of said, okay, well, to whom do we give? What shall we do? And so they ended up aligning very clearly with the ingredients in their products and the countries from which they source. So they funded reforestation in Peru and palm oil habitat protection in Indonesia and a lot of reforestation to mitigate the paper use of packaging on their products. And then they said to their customers, when you buy this product, you're supporting the planet. You're helping give back. And we helped them identify those projects, really get them in place, and then also align it with their brand so it could really be a very rich part of communicating what they stood for.
So we are talking about new and innovative ways of charitable giving, and we're talking with Melody Badgett from 1% for the Planet. You can join this conversation by calling us at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. Esbert Cardenas is CEO of Image Outfitters, which is based in Stowe. Esbert, tell us a little bit about Image Outfitters and the charitable giving program that you've launched called iShareWorks.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing today? And thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here. A little bit about Image Outfitters. Image Outfitters is an advertising specialties company that we started back in 1998 in Miami, Florida, in my hometown. A little bit over just about, I think it'll be 6 years actually tomorrow, we moved and transplanted ourselves over to Stowe, Vermont. And just about 2 years ago, my wife and I, we realized how underfunded charities were. And using this vehicle of our advertising specialties industry business that we do all kinds of promotional items, we realized that this is a huge industry that we were in. And we said, how can we do more? Seeing how charitable Vermonters are, it dawned on me that we could come up with a program that we've called this program iShare, iShareWorks.com. You could see all about it there. We realized that we can use the power of companies purchasing dollars who are already purchasing promotional items anyway, and we could use that money to help them benefit their charity of choice. So what we do is we come in and we tell them we could basically be competitive, give you amazing service, and meet or beat what you're presently paying for promotional items, and then we give back 10% of the sales to their charity of choice. Since we started the program Its inception happened 2 years ago. We really started it marketing it about a year and a half ago. We've given to approximately 46 to 47 charities, a total number of just under $41,000 as of today, which is a pretty big number considering that we're a small business. I don't think many small businesses can say nowadays that they've given back $41,000 to different charities.
And how does so that's the way iShare
works
for the business that you do with promotional items. How are you interfacing with other companies? Can other companies use iShare as a way of doing charitable giving?
We're not there yet. Basically, everything that we're doing now is just incentive based on business that they're already doing with promotional items. So we're not there yet. We see that coming in the future. We've been approached by many different companies wanting to use the iShare name, but that's not somewhere where we're at right now. Right now, we're really concentrating on just corporate companies that are already presently buying promotional items, and that's how we're doing it today.
And you allow them to just earmark a charity that goes along with their purchase?
That is correct. It's any charity that has a 501c3 certificate.
So when you say you had a realization that charities were underfunded, what caused you to have that revelation?
You know, the town that we live in, and the Vermonter is such a charitable person, that the hat is always being passed around. And no matter what level people are at, they're always giving. And that's where it dawned on us that we need to be more charitable, we need to help more, and we realized that this was a great way to actually do it.
Hmm. What are some of the kinds of organizations that you've been giving to?
Pretty much all kinds, from Hi-Fi's Foundation we've been giving to. We've been giving to Stowe Performing Arts Center. We've been giving to Stowe Elementary, the Stowe Education Fund, American Cancer Society, United Way, the NASCAR Foundation. Because when we started the program, we started it here in Vermont, and we wanted it to spiral out of Vermont. Like everything happens, the top, as soon as we spun it, it started to hop around, and we started to get phone calls from out of the state. That's a big reason why I'm here. That's a big reason why I've gotten involved with Vermont Business for Social Responsibility, because we feel indebted to the Vermonter. We came up with this concept here. We want Vermont companies to know about what it is that we are doing today, because the program has just grabbed national attention, so I'm trying to really control it a bit so that the Vermonter finds out and that they can benefit from it.
Now, your own company, Image Outfitters, explain. I see some of the baseball caps with logos on it. What are some of the promotional items that you actually help sell?
We sell everything from a 5-cent pencil to we've done bicycles with custom logos, paper airplanes, balsa wood airplanes, you know, polo shirts, wearables, all kinds. It's pretty much the whole gamut, A through Z. We have products that do come from overseas and get personalized overseas. We have products that come from overseas and get personalized here. And, of course, that we are pushing more and more and more, we have products that are made in the USA.
Well, we have on the line one of the beneficiaries of your program. Roy Tuscany is the founder of the High Fives Foundations. Roy, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Very good. Now, Roy, I know you're calling us from California, but you actually hail from a few hundred yards away from the WDEV studio. So tell us about your Vermont roots.
Yeah, originally born and raised in Vermont. My dad still lives in Waterbury. He's the public works director. And, growing up in Vermont taught me a great thing about community, helping others, and, you know, the most key thing to what I believe is successful in life, which is hard work.
So tell us a little bit about your story and how it led to the creation of your foundation.
Like I said, you know, growing up in Vermont, you know, you really take two paths in the winter. You either take hockey or, you know, some type of skiing, if it's Nordic or downhill. And, you know, my passion was downhill skiing. And I moved out to California in 2004 as an aspiring pro skier. Grew up at Sugarbush, Vermont. You know, I was taken under the wing by the guys at Vermont North Ski Shop, and they always, you know, made sure I was in a good place. And I came out here, was having the time of my life. And then in 2006, I unfortunately overshot a jump at Mammoth Mountain, went 130 feet on a 100-foot jump, came down from 30 feet in the air and burst fractured my T12 vertebrae right into my spine, causing partial paralysis from the belly button down. And that day right there, I could have instantly just sat in front of this door that was the door to my professional free skiing career. That never happened. And instead, I opened up another door, which was the creation of High Fives from the support that I received from my own recovery.
So High Fives has been, and that was an incredibly fast retelling of an incredibly powerful story. And it's a story I know well because I wrote about you and your foundation for the Burlington Free Press a couple years back.
Totally.
High Fives grew really out of tragedy to be a way to help other people confronting these life-threatening challenges of spinal cord injuries. What is it? Where does it stand now? It's only a few years old, but how many people are you helping in the last year?
You know, when we originally started the foundation in 2009, the concept was, you know, raise $25,000 a year, help one athlete out. And we did just that in 2009. And then every year since then, we've seen an average growth of about 225%. And we've gone from a foundation that has focused its, you know, sole purpose of, you know, financially helping athletes through the recovery process to adding more program services and kind of now with a vision of becoming the safety net of the winter sports with these other programs. To date, we've helped 59 athletes from 18 states with varying grants from, you know, as small as $400 all the way up to $25,000 for athletes in the recovery process. And since then, the Winter Empowerment Fund has spawned into two other components, and we kind of think of this past, present, future concept. The past being the Winter Empowerment Program. You know, people get hurt. How can we get them from that past, you know, accident to a really great point in their recovery? And that gets us to the present, which is our program service to C.R. Johnson Healing Center, located in Truckee, California. It's a 1,400-square-foot facility that has all the different types of modalities of healing that community members and injured athletes can come to and work out at their own time in kind of a no-questions-asked environment. Because, you know, it's frustrating if you're at the gym recovering from something and people compare, like, a broken ankle to a broken back with nerve damage and stuff like that. And then finally is our future concept, which is our basics program, which stands for Be Aware Safe in Critical Situations. And that to date has educated 55,000 kids across the country this year through a campaign called Helmets Are Cool, trying to increase helmet usage. Last year we saw 2,300 people visit the Healing Center, and like I said, we've helped about 59 athletes through the recovery process. So, you know, we kind of say we try to, you know, serve about 60,000 people a year.
Could you have imagined 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that this foundation that you started out of, you know, your own, you know, brush with death basically would be at this level? Was that part of your, you know, your imagination?
You know, I've always had a great imagination. You know, growing up in Vermont, you got to be pretty imaginative as you spend a lot of time out in the woods and you get to transform objects. And I never believed that this transformation would happen. When I started High Fives, it was really just my whole concept was a side project. I was working for a great company, having a blast with it, and, you know, this just spawned into something bigger than I ever imagined. I mean, I never thought for a fact that, you know, we'd have a satellite office in Reno, Nevada, a satellite office in Warren, Vermont, and then a 2,600-square-foot facility here in Truckee, California with, you know, four employees, including myself, a very distinguished board of directors, an amazing advisory board, and then, you know, the community outreach support. The last couple events that we've put on, I mean, we're selling these events out 3 to 4 weeks prior to the even start date. And it's truly, you know, mind-blowing because it kind of hit me this year when we did a big event at the Nevada Museum of Arts down in Reno. You know, four years ago, we were doing events at dive bars and hoping to get a dollar off a beer. And, you know, we put on an event at the Nevada Museum of Arts that rivaled any, you know, any of the top nonprofits. Gala events, and for that right there, that's what really hits me is when I look at our fundraising events and think 4 years ago it was like struggling to get people in the door for $5 and making a dollar off a beer, and now it's, you know, selling tables for $2,000 and then seeing these donations come in because of the work that we've been able to accomplish in such a short period of time.
I'm just looking at your website, highfivesfoundation.org, at some of the events coming up. You've actually got something coming up this Saturday in Boston. Tell us about it.
Yeah, you know, it's been really fun. Some college buddies of mine that, you know, are lifelong friends, they once we started the foundation, they're like, Roy, we got to do something back here. We'll do anything for you. And so for the last 2 years, we've done an event called Kentucky de Mayo, where we kind of put together the Cinco de Mayo and the Kentucky Derby down in the Boston area. And this year, the date just didn't work out because we hosted that Game On at Fenway at Blazing Paddles. And it's got to coordinate with the Red Sox schedule, with them being out of town. And it just happened that it fell on the Belmont Stakes, and it kind of worked out for us because a California foundation is coming to throw an event that's based around the Triple Crown, while a horse from California named California Chrome might be the first horse to capture the Triple Crown since 1976. So, you know, it's got a pretty cool thing. We've got silent auction, really fun games, and, you know, maybe someone can be crowned the Triple Crown of bar games at the Boston event. So, yeah, and, you know, it's pretty crazy because we're actually hosting an event on Saturday as well in Norwalk, Connecticut. And it's amazing. People are reaching out to us and saying, I want to help. I want to put on events for you. And we're consistently just growing in this community.
Hmm. Well, tell us the connection to iShareWorks, to Esbert Cardenas's charitable giving program.
Esbert is like the greatest human. When I first met him, I was like, dude, this guy's crazy just like me. He's got tons of energy. He just wants to help people. He truly believes in what I believe in, which is community. Because when you create a strong community, you really can survive anything. And that's, you know, firsthand, you know, with Waterbury after the flood, the way the community surrounded that and the way High Fives has grown and the way iShare has grown is really this concept of community. And what Esbert has created is fantastic. And it's such a great way because he produces high-end products that make your business look good. And at the same time, he's donating back to your organization, your cause, through partners that are either referred to you from him or you refer back to him. And it's just, you know, it's been an incredible time working with him. And he's kind of like our big brother for the foundation in Stowe. He welcomes us in always with open arms at his office, gives us his desk to use whenever we need it if we're in town. So, I mean, it's more than just, you know, getting high-end promotional products from him. We're also getting a really great friend in the area.
So, Esbert, how did you come across Roy Tuscany and the High Fives Foundation to make that one of your, donor groups?
I think basically what it is that crazy people attract each other. And I was doing an event and someone approached me in Stowe, and it was an event that Roy was putting on, High Fives on Tap, last year. And I was referred to him through the Stowe Adaptive Sports, correct me if I'm wrong, Roy. And like everyone does today, I Googled him, I figured out, and I found out that he was a local guy. I loved his hairstyle, very different than mine back then. And I reached out, and I picked up the phone, and typical of Roy, you call Roy, Roy answers. If Roy doesn't answer immediately, Roy calls you back immediately, which is just phenomenal. And we just started a chit-chat, and it turned out that we were just about to hit the $25,000 milestone in charitable donations. And Roy said, you know, I want you to be at this event. I want you to help me out at this event, and I want to make the announcement. Well, coincidentally, it turned out that the mugs that we had done for them, the charitable donation going back to Roy's organization, High Fives, was the exact amount that put us over the $25,000 milestone. So it was a match made in heaven. Once we saw each other and I saw him walk into my office or waddle into my office, it was just, it's all love. Roy's all about love. It's, of course, you get the big high five, but you have to immediately give him that big hug. And me being of you know, Latin background, we're huggers and kissers. And just it's a match made in heaven. It's two crazy guys with great intentions and just doing great things for mankind.
And Roy, tell us the story behind High Fives and why your foundation is named that.
Well, you know, when I was in the recovery process, it was a really bizarre thing that, you know, doctors, they kind of stand at the end of the bed and they're almost like scared of you, is the sensation that I always kind of got from it. And so I would make them come over and give me a high five. And at first it was a really, you know, it was almost like I was asking them to do brain surgery on me right there. They were so baffled by the concept of me being like, yeah, here, just touch my hand. You're going to be all right. Like, we're going to be fine. Don't worry, I washed it. And, you know, over time it just started to develop a great way to kind of break that ice that kind of sometimes is there between, you know, doctors, physical therapists, occupational therapists and such. And, you know, there's, it's been great because, you know, we've got this great board of director member. He's our, he's our medical director by the name of Dr. Jim Lynch from Spine Nevada. And he's kind of transcended it into his, he high fives his patients now as well. So it's all just right. A great way to break the ice because it's absolutely impossible to give someone a high five and not have a positive interaction with.
Okay, Roy, we're going to come back to you after the news. We'll be back with more about giving for good.
The Thursday night stock car season begins this Thursday night with the Fairpoint Communications Trophy Dash. Championship hopes come alive at Barry's Thunder Road, and a sure sign of summer has arrived. Over 100 cars expected, with the best drivers in the Northeast tackling the high banks in fender-to-fender action at one of America's most famous racetracks. Two-time champion Nick Sweet and defending champ Derek O'Donnell will take the gloves off, but challenges like never before from veterans Phil Scott, Dave Pembroke, Brooks Clark, and Trampas Demers will highlight Fairpoint Communications' night of racing. Bond Auto Tigers are looking stronger than ever, and the always wild and rugged Allen Lumber Street Sox will create their own excitement. Post time is 6:30. Gates open at 5 o'clock. Admission just $12 for an adult. Kids 6 to 12 are only $3. The best value in racing, a family of two adults and two kids for just $25. Don't miss all the excitement when Fairpoint Communications presents Thunder Road Racing this Thursday night in Barre, Vermont.
AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire. The release of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl draws attention to an American woman and her Canadian husband who have been missing in Afghanistan since late 2012. AP has learned that Caitlin Coleman's family has gotten two videos from her and her husband, Joshua Boyle, in which both plead for their freedom.
I am prisoner of the Taliban, my husband and I here, and I am asking my parents to please appeal to my government to do whatever they can to bring us home.
Coleman's father received the videos and emails last July and September from an Afghan man who said he had ties to the Taliban. Joshua Boyle's father, Patrick, a judge in Canada, tells the AP that it would be no more appropriate to have our government turn their backs on their citizens than to turn their backs on those who serve. The families decided to make the videos public now, specifically because of all the attention given to Bergdahl. AP Update, I'm Tim McGuire.
And you can join up at WDV and In the Gardens, Ed Smith, at your local Agway store in Montpelier this Saturday. We'll be cooking up McKenzie hot dogs from 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. You can stop on in and enjoy while they last. Sign up to win a gas grill and enjoy many specials throughout the store. It's all at your local Agway store in Montpelier this Saturday. Don't want to miss it.
Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility makes the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman available each Wednesday, along with People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow. Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to the patient, community, and medicine since 1879. Fairpoint Communications. Small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. And Business Energy Action. Challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. As well as over 1,000 plus VBSR members.
Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. This week we're talking about giving for good and looking at several local organizations that are pioneering innovative ways to channel money to groups that are working for change. Our guests this week are Melody Badgett, the managing director of 1% for the Planet, an alliance of companies that gives a percentage of sales to environmental causes, Esbert Cardenas, the CEO of Image Outfitters, which has launched a program, iShareWorks. That's a unique charitable donation program for his company. And Roy Tuscany, a Waterbury native now living in California, who is the founder of the High Fives Foundation, which works to help winter athletes who've had life-changing injuries. Mm-hmm. Melody, let's go back to you and 1% for the Planet. A company that, has not done charitable giving and is really starting from scratch, where do you, and perhaps they're listening, and maybe mm-hmm. they're a small business. You've mentioned some of the bigger ones, Patagonia and other sort of iconic brands. Mm-hmm. But what about that small Vermont business that wants to find a way to be effective? Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, thank you for asking. And Roy, it's great to hear your voice. A big hi from across the country. I'm a huge fan of High Fives and all of the work you do.
Melody confessed that you taught her how to ski, Roy.
It's certainly very instrumental in that.
She was pretty well dialed when I met her.
Well, you are nice to say. It just absolutely fires me up, too, to hear the great work of Roy and Esbert, and just it makes you, really think about the power of individuals in this movement, in driving change, and look at the momentum that follows those who are really passionate or, as Esbert, I think, and Roy said, are a little crazy. May there be more crazy types. The individuals are a really important constituent in the 1% network, too. If you think about it, they're the customers of the companies, they're the supporters of the nonprofits, and they really, at the end of the day, are the ones that make things happen. And I think about, that individual, Lori David, a few years back, who literally stalked Al Gore and said, "You got to do something about the environment. People don't know." And because of her, she convinced him to make Inconvenient Truth, and awareness changed for that. Awareness around the issue of the environment and the crisis before us. And so individuals are incredibly important and powerful. And, small companies, just like you were mentioning, that's started by a passionate individual who wants to do something. And when it comes to giving back, it can be a really simple first step. And oftentimes it's just learning what an owner of a company cares about. That's a great place to start. Are you passionate about food? And if you are, there's a company, Spindrift, for example, in New England that gives a lot to getting healthy food to kids in schools. They give a lot to water issues because it's a key ingredient in their product. But they said, let's meet people where they are every day and let's help them live a better life. And that's kind of the impetus that started the company, because it's a natural soda company. And then it can translate, that real spirit can translate into their giving. And then giving becomes this beautiful way of really showing what you're all about. So I think that's a really good first conversation to have when you're thinking about giving back, and we're certainly happy to help with those conversations anytime.
What about the question of the effectiveness of giving and the impact that you're having? We hear about some charities that, when on closer examination are, not that much is actually trickling down to the people who need it, that so much is mm-hmm. lost in overhead. Mm-hmm. So the impact of investing, how can you assure mm-hmm. you're getting the biggest bang for your charitable dollar?
Yeah, it's a really, really great point. There are a couple of organizations who focus very much on that financial and side of the equation. GuideStar, Charity Navigator, those are ones we encourage companies who embark in giving to really dive deep and look at that in addition to the mission and the work of an organization. So you can see how are the funds used and what. And any good nonprofit will tell you the results, the impact, the stories on the ground. How are we making a difference? And that's really important to ask the questions. Go talk to them. You're a partner with them right alongside. So that's really a solid step to take. And, with 1% ourselves, we think a lot about impact going forward. It's something as our second phase of growth, the next decade, we say that should be the end game, the results that happen. And how can we really work with all who are part of the network to do together what we cannot do alone?
And so tell me about, you've been in existence now, you're in your 11th year, you've given $100 million or been kind of a shepherd of that.
That's right.
What are some results that you are proudest of at 1% for the Planet?
Yeah, that giving number alone is something that feels like a real milestone, because even today, less than 2% of all giving goes to the environment and less than 4% comes from companies. So to influence that and to enable it, it feels there's such opportunity there to really have a positive influence on the planet by engaging those constituents. You know, other things, we've done some really interesting partnership work in the past couple years. One is on water. It's called Change the Course, and it's all focused around Save the Colorado, which actually is a water source for about half the country. And it's this great coming together of nonprofits and companies and really reaching consumers in a very, very compelling way to make a difference. So it makes the issue accessible, and it says, you might see an email as an individual in your mailbox that says, hey, did you know your closet is flooding? And you're like, what? You open that and it says 740 gallons it takes to make a t-shirt. And would you like to learn more about your water consumption? And would you pledge to do a little better? And if the individual makes that pledge, then Bonneville Environmental, which is a great environmental organization, puts 1,000 gallons of water back into the Colorado as a result of that pledge. And they structure all sorts of wonderful projects around the country to really enable that to happen. So there's this full feedback loop of making someone aware who didn't know before, helping change behavior in a positive way, really influencing a critical issue of water, and then actually getting the Colorado a little closer to the ocean. So those are kind of the things that sort of fire you up if you can have a small role.
Well, Roy Tuscany, as a beneficiary of some of these innovative charitable giving programs, what are some of the programs that High Fives has tapped into that have really helped your foundation be the success that it is?
So you're talking fundraising, Dave, here?
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that we've seen, you know, really helpful is, like, we do put on a lot of events. So working with iShare and Esbert, we've been able to, you know, to put together some great promotional stuff that has been able to, you know, give back to ourselves. It's really, you know, a great concept. Outside of that, you know, we've seen some really great success with online campaigns with, like, crowdrise.com, which is when people approach us and say, hey, I want to run a marathon, or hey, I want to do, you know, this for you guys. It's a great way to crowdsource, you know, and reach new donors and databases. Outside of that, you know, for me, I just try to find creative ways, and I really believe that the best way for a nonprofit to raise money is to be incredibly transparent. Really allow the people that see who donate to you how your money's spent and where it's going. And when you say you're going to do something, make sure you follow through 110% instead of just doing 100% of what you want to accomplish. Add that extra 10% just to kind of wow people to say, man, this dollar is really going a lot farther, and it's really going to help the core mission of what that foundation stands for.
So, Esbert Cardenas, you've come up with a way for your company to give. Have you thought of scaling this up to kind of provide a blueprint for other companies that want to give a percentage of their profits to charities?
That's something that we definitely are looking to do something in the near future. I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with Roy again and talk about transparency, because it's a key thing of what we actually do. Every time we make a donation, and those donations are always made, chosen by the end user, which is the companies that we sell our merchandise to, every time that we give one of those donations in their name, we list it on our websites. And we have two different websites. We have the iShareWorks.com, and we also have HallOfShare.com. So we are completely transparent, not only for the end user to be able to follow how much they've been receiving, also for the customer to know how much they are receiving, and for other customers and all other charities to be able to see who is benefiting from the business being done with Image Outfitters through their iShare charitable donations program.
What's some of the feedback that you've gotten from customers of Image Outfitters about the charitable stuff that you do?
They're very much floored. They can't believe. They're so excited. They all want to do more. It's automatically given them incentive to deal with us, not only for the great personalized service that we've always given, but to be able to give more. We're seeing that customers that were buying X amount, they're their purchases with us are just increasing over and over. Before, companies were spreading the wealth and buying from four, five, six different preferred vendors. And some of the bigger companies, we're seeing the numbers. The numbers are starting to grow. They want to do business with us. We did a trade show just a couple of weeks ago at the Vermont Expo, and I had we were probably 9 or 10 different competitors there, and they kept coming back to us after they come to our booth and say, you know, we don't understand. How are we going to do business with other people? It doesn't make any sense, and we want to do business with you guys because it's only you guys that are giving back 10% and giving it to the charities that we're choosing, not charities that other competitors choose randomly to give, and it's a random percentage.
So remind us again, because you ran by that early in the program, so you're giving 10%, run the numbers by us.
10% of the sales. So, for example, Roy comes now and he tells me, Esbert, I'm going to have an event. I'm going to need 5,000 baseball caps. The baseball caps are, let's just put a figurative number on it, but $5,000 worth of baseball caps. So we basically take the line item and right off the top we say, okay, $5,000 worth of baseball caps, we give back 10%, which would be $500 to the charity of choice. We don't wait till the end of the month. We don't wait till the quarter. We don't wait till the end of the year. We cut the check immediately when we are paid. Most of the times we're cutting checks for charities even before the check from the merchandise even clears the bank.
How do you afford to do that? 10% is a big number in the life of a business.
It's just the business model. It's the structure that we have. We've always run a very tight ship with a very low overhead. And, you know, we can do it. And, you know, giving back feels great, and we'll continue to do it.
So this model that giving away money is actually generating more business for you, that's pretty interesting.
It definitely is. And we really never did it with those intentions, but it's just what is happening.
Huh. Well, Roy Tuscany, from your perspective, what makes the biggest difference when you talk with businesses or others in convincing them to give away money to, for, among others, high fives?
You know, the big thing that I've found is it's always better to come to a business with a concept than with just saying, hey, how can you help us? I think a lot of times people don't always see outside the box, and, you know, these creative concepts where you can think of fundraising platforms outside of the box is a really great way, and it's something that we started with a Five for Fives program where we give businesses five different options of ways to partner up with us. That's one way that has been very creative for us to find new people that want to give, but like Esbert says, doesn't always know how to correctly give, and we've kind of set that up with them. The Five for Fives program we launched this year, we already have 9 partners on side of it, and they give anywhere from either $5,000 annually to help support our events, to partnering up with 5 events, or giving 5%, a multiple of 5%, or 5 cents of their sales back to the foundation. And that's been one really unique way to find new partners. And then, like I mentioned, you know, you got to find partners that align with you. A lot of people always reach out to us and say, hey, we've got this great company that you should work with. They're going to, you know, support you in this way. And that's great. But I think when you can really find that kind of true circle, a great example is a medical device company out of Orlando, Florida, by the name of Microlumen, one of our larger supporters. And they are in the medical field, and we support people, you know, that usually go through a lot of medical stuff. And it just seems really natural to find those companies that, you know, have the same passion. And, you know, that's really a big thing in life is passion. And when you can find people that align on the same passions, you know, sparks are going to fly and great things are going to happen between, you know, that's beneficial not just for high fives, you know, receiving these funds or receiving some type of in-kind donation that'll help support our program services, but at the same time, that company that supports you and, you know, you really jump on with. You know, this year we were super lucky to head up to K2 Skis in up in Washington and get to make 3 custom skis that we got to auction off. And it wasn't that K2 gave us, you know, $15,000. They gave us the tools to raise $15,000, which was 3 unique skis that, you know, we've almost received $15,000 for. So sometimes, you know, it takes that special person to look outside the box and kind of understand different platforms of fundraising than just the traditional send you a direct piece of mail in the mail, tell you how rad things are going, and hopefully you'll put a check or your credit card information and mail it back. It seems, you know, those ways still work, but there's a lot of new platforms out there, especially with how fast you can reach people and how quick you can interact with someone through social media, email, website, and all those different types of internet-based platforms.
Okay, well, I want to thank all of you for giving us ideas and telling us the stories of innovative ways to give away your money. So Roy Tuscany from the High Fives Foundation, Esbert Cardenas from Image Outfitters and Stowe, and Melody Badgett from 1% for the Planet, thanks for being part of the Vermont Conversation this week.
You bet.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. High five, Roy.
Hey, I'll see you on Friday.
Yep.
Okay, well, in the last part of our show today, we're going to bring in Scott Buckingham from the Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. Scott, welcome back to the Vermont Conversation.
Hey, David, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, so you're thinking about buying local. So tell us what you have up your sleeve here with the Buy Local book.
Absolutely, thrilled to. I'm really here today to talk about our Buy Local book, which we're getting prepared for our 2014-2015 Buy Local book, which hits the stores in September. And every year, we have a slew of folks that come back to us and say, boy, I wish I'd had an opportunity to get my company or my business or my story in the Buy Local book. So we're trying to make a concerted effort this year to get out in front of our business community, our local business community, and make sure they know of the Buy Local book and what it has to offer. Our deadline for placing ads and getting folks in there is this Friday.
So tell us a little bit about the Buy Local book. What is it?
Absolutely. The Buy Local book really exists to help activate a local first mindset and local purchasing in communities around Vermont. And we do that by helping to drive traffic to locally owned independent businesses by offering coupons and other stories about locally owned independent businesses in their communities. It's also a great resource book and shares stories and resources about local purchasing and localism, and also stories about local business owners that are really forwarding that localism mindset. And, you know, quite often they're our neighbors.
Right. And, you know, I'm looking at the this year's edition of it. First of all, it's a big, fat, 300-page book that, aside from lots of coupons, 25% off of this and that, 40% off Creative Habitat, 20% off Crow Bookshop, I'm just flipping to the random page. But I think the thing that's most striking is it's got a lot of really good stories and photos in it. I mean, this is a book you can actually sit down with. You know, one page, it's the whole story of Hunger Mountain Co-op, which was founded in 1972. Then there's Efficiency Vermont, and then you flip and you're going looking at Petra Cliffs Climbing and, of course, Vermont Beers. It's a pretty rich mix of stories and business in here.
Absolutely. You know, it really embraces a cross-section of businesses from anywhere from, you hit it, from retailers to manufacturers, all sorts of different niches within our economy. And actually new this year, something you're probably not seeing in the current edition, is we're making it available for professional services firms or businesses throughout the state of Vermont. And I should probably talk a little bit about eligibility and criteria for the book or what have you. But we'll save that for a couple minutes from now. We get a really good cross-section of Vermont businesses, and not only just their coupons, but like I said, their stories, their initiatives for purchasing local.
Well, tell us about eligibility to be in the book. You're leaving us hanging here.
Absolutely. We see localism gets a lot of attention in the state of Vermont. I think overall our awareness of purchasing locals pretty high. That being said, we see things come through the office that tout local businesses or what have you, that when you really peek under the covers, they're not really all that local. So to be in our book, to put a coupon in our book, we have some eligibility criteria that are really important to make sure that we've got truly local folks. And those are four things. The business is privately held, not publicly traded. The business owners, totaling greater than 50% of the ownership, need to live here in Vermont. The business needs to be based in Vermont and has no corporate or national headquarters outside the state. And then the fourth criteria is something that kind of catches a lot of folks. The business can make independent decisions regarding the name and look of the business, as well as all business purchasing practices and distribution. This tends to weed out a lot of franchise type of operations, if you will. Now, that being said, those are eligibility requirements to place a coupon in our book. But as you pointed out, we have stories, personal profiles, and other advertisers. Those eligibility requirements don't apply to those particular pieces of presence in the book. So that allows companies like Seventh Generation or Ben & Jerry's that really embrace and endorse a local mindset and are stewards of our local economy and committed to local community and economic development, an opportunity to participate in the book and in the movement, if you will.
How do folks who want to be involved in the Buy Local book for the coming year, which you said comes out in the fall?
Yes.
So how do folks get in touch with you or, get their name out there?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing to do is, if you want to be in the book, is to act quickly. Our deadline is, as I mentioned, this Friday. And it's very easy. It really as simple as getting in contact with us. And the person to contact is Kaylin King, and she can be contacted at kaylin@localfirstvermont.org. All of that spelled out. Or you can hit the Local First Vermont webpage at www.localfirstvermont.org, and all spelled out. And just let us know that you want to be in the book. You'll find links on the webpage that give more detailed information about rates. I should make a note that VBSR members get discounted rates. But just let us know that you want to be in the book, and then our team here will work with your local business to help design the ad and the different content that goes in the book. We've done this 5 or 6 years now. It's very efficient for us, and we make it really easy for local businesses. Local businesses don't always have designers in-house or a lot of advertising content or what have you. But we've had businesses that have contacted us and said, boy, I don't have any of these piece parts. We'll even sit down and help design sort of a logo for you and give your business a presence in the book. So take a look at the criteria and the pricing and get in touch with us by Friday. This is a opportunity you want to be involved with.
And do you have some measure or indication of what the impact of the Buy Local book has been for the businesses that are in it?
Well, we don't track specific data per se, but I think the most encouraging and probably the best data point is most all of our participants, and we get a little bit less than 200 businesses involved each year. The vast majority of them are repeat customers. So obviously, the coupon, the book, the story, the values that it's highlighting are resonating with the local businesses. They keep returning and wanting their presence.
Okay, well, so listeners should check out localfirstvermont.org to look into getting into next year's Buy Local book. In the meantime, they should buy local. And thanks to Scott Buckingham, the Communications and Development Manager from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, for giving us this update on the book.
Hey, as always, David, thanks for having me on.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for this week's Vermont Conversation. All Vermont Conversations are archived, and you can go to vbsr.org and click the Vermont Conversation tab, and you'll find every show to listen to for the last year and a half that we've been bringing you these conversations. So till next Wednesday at 1, I'm David Goodman, and thanks for listening.
have been listening to the Vermont Conversation with host David Goodman. Tune in next Wednesday when, once again, Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and its over 1,000 VBSR members, along with Fairpoint Communications, small business owners, make it big with Fairpoint, National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow, People's United Bank, find out what know-how can do, and Fletcher Allen Healthcare, in service to patient, community, and medicine since 1879, as well as Business Energy Action, challenging businesses to reduce energy consumption. It's just good business. These all help to bring you David Goodman with this special program.
We'll be joining up the World National News Update. Two artists of music coming your way with the Getaway on locally owned and operated 96.1 WDEV FM in Warren, FM 96.5 in Barrie, and AM 550 WDEV Waterbury, Montpelier, serving the kingdom at FM 101.9 from Island Pond. It's 2 o'clock.
AP Radio News.